Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name is Gary Parrish. Brad Carson's in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you didn't think last night would finally be the night Penny Hardaway missed on a Memphis area prospect he targeted, because it did not happen. Big Penny opposed to Little Penny. Now, 8-for-8 when targeting Memphis area prospects and or Team Penny-affiliated prospects. So, the message should be loud and clear for basically anybody, but, I don't know, Mike Krzyzewski and John Calipari, and perhaps even them too. The message is this: don't waste your time. Coming into Memphis right now to target a player Memphis is targeting seems like a total waste of time. It at least has been unsuccessful for the past year. Talk about that momentarily. First, so quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:15. John Martin is my little buddy, co-host, Jason and John Show, weekdays from 11 to 2. Used to be with Cookie, upgraded to Sammy. He's going to join me in about 15 minutes to talk Tiger basketball recruiting with him. John Martin will be here very quickly. Finish that segment. I'm going to do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them Dan Wetzel. Yahoo Sports reported earlier today that LSU coach Will Wade has been caught on a wiretap discussing strong effort offers to people in control of elite high school prospects, specifically current LSU freshman Javonte Smart. So that's going to be tough to get around. It's crazy to think about this, but Will really might win an outright SEC title tomorrow. Get a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, go to a Final Four, maybe even win a national championship, and then be fired before next season. All of that is on the table. We'll get into it around 4:44. Creighton and TCU might also be in trouble, according to Dan Wetzel. They've been leaked to the federal probe. Tell you about that a little later on this hour. The investigation into the death of a man hit by a vehicle driven by Hall of Fame Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim has been closed. I'll give you the details on that just before 5 o'clock. And big game in the American Athletic Conference tonight for Memphis's AAC tournament purposes between Temple and UConn. If you want the Tigers to get a first-round bye next week, you should root like crazy for UConn. I'll tell you why during four notable stories, 4:44. We'll talk nothing but college basketball during four notable stories, 4:44, 5 o'clock. Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and I'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with Memphis basketball recruiting, because it was another good development last night in Memphis basketball recruiting for Penny Hardaway's program. No surprise, but still significant. Damian Baugh, a 6'4 or 6'5, depending on who you ask, guard from Tennessee Prep, publicly committed to Memphis over offers from TCU and Texas Tech. He's ranked 134th in the class of 2019, according to 24/7 Sports. He is the fourth player in the class of 2019 to commit to Memphis, joining James Wiseman, DJ Jeffries, and, of course, Malcolm Dandridge. And his commitment, though it won't resonate nationally the way a James Wiseman commitment does, it was enough to push Memphis' class up to sixth in the class of 2019. That's sixth in the country, behind only Arizona, Villanova, USC, Gonzaga, and Louisville. A seventh right behind Memphis would be Duke, followed by Florida, Oregon, and number 10 would be Kentucky. Now, Duke and Kentucky's classes are going to improve as the months come off the calendar. They always do. So I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time talking about how you've out-recruited John Calipari or Mike Krzyzewski, but either way, this is true. Memphis's class is ranked 6th in the country at this moment, and it includes 4 top 150 players, 2 of whom are top 50 players, one of whom is, according to some, the number one prospect in America. That, of course, is James Wiseman. There was a ceremony last night. If I were in town, I would have gone. I was obviously in New York City. I could not go. But Damian Ball spoke with reporters afterward and said, among other things, he plans to play point guard, not two guard, but point guard at the University of Memphis. And I thought this was interesting. He was asked a pretty basic question. What sold you on Memphis? And the answer was a pretty basic answer. He said, Penny. What sold you on Memphis? Penny sold me on Memphis. And though every prospect who's committed to Memphis hasn't said that exactly, that simply, it's basically the same answer for everybody. Like, why is Tyler Harris at Memphis? Because of Penny. Why is Alex Lomax at Memphis? Because of Penny. Why is DJ Jeffries at Memphis, or will be at Memphis? Penny, James Wiseman, Penny, Damian Ba, from his own mouth last night, Penny Hardaway. And so you add it all up. You don't even need a calculator, but you do need two hands. Memphis has targeted, since Penny was the coach, 8 players who are either from the Memphis area or affiliated with Team Penny, or what was formerly known as Team Penny, or both. And Penny's gotten all 8 of them. It's Tyler Harris, Alex Lomax, Jaden Hardaway, Ryan Boyce, Malcolm Dandridge, DJ Jeffries, James Wiseman, Damian Ba. 8 for 8. And sort of the point I'd made last night when I was talking about it off air with some people in studio is that you don't want to be too far out there. Like, don't bother coming into Memphis because you can't possibly be Penny on a kid. I don't know that that's exactly true. But I know you can't do it if you're Texas Tech. And I know you can't do it if you're TCU. And I know you can't do it if you're Tennessee or Ole Miss. And I say this with all due respect to those programs and those coaches. You know, Tennessee's maybe about to get a 1 seed. Texas Tech's about to win the Big 12. You can't find more successful stories in the country right now relative to the rosters in place probably than Tennessee and Texas Tech. And yet I still, yes, believe that Texas Tech wastes its time in Memphis trying to recruit a Memphis kid that Memphis has prioritized. Same thing with Tennessee. Honest to God, unless I were John Calipari at Kentucky, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, and maybe Roy Williams at North Carolina. In other words, a Hall of Fame coach at a blue blood program. Before I even make a phone call on a Memphis kid, I pick up the phone, and if I don't actually call the Memphis staff, because this sometimes happens in recruiting, by the way, a staff will call another staff and say, hey, where are you at on this kid? Do you want him? I'm not saying that's normal, but I'm saying it's not unheard of.
Right.
I've had coaches tell me they've done that before. Yeah, I called so-and-so to see if he's recruiting this kid. Because if he is, I'm just not going to waste my time. If I don't pick up the phone, if I'm one of any other coach besides John Calipari, Roy Williams, and Mike Krzyzewski, if I don't pick up the phone and call Penny or one of his staff members and say, hey, where are you? How do you guys feel about this guy? Do you really want him? Is he a priority for you? Then I call the guys who work for 24/7 Sports or Rivals or even the Memphis connected affiliated sites. You know, most good staffs have sources within all of those places I just named. And you just say, hey, where's Memphis at with this kid? Do they really want him? Is he a secondary target? Because if he's a secondary target, you might be able to get it done. But a priority, you're not getting it done. I mean, I really do believe, and I don't think Chris Beard and Penny have a relationship, but let's say that was an opposing coach or Jamie Dixon. And Ryan Miller, by the way, is on Jamie Dixon's staff at TCU, and Mike's his brother, so you could pick up the phone and make that call.
There's a connection, sure.
But I would actually pick up the phone and I would call and I'd say, hey, do you guys really want him? Is he a priority for you? And if they told me yes, it'd just be over with. And then maybe somebody connected to the prospect, the Memphis area prospect, would call me and say, hey, we haven't heard from you guys in a while. What's up? and you say, oh, listen, we'd love to have you. And if you want to commit right now, we'll take you right now. But our understanding after looking into this is that Memphis has prioritized you in this class, and we just know how that ends. Like, we hear you when you say you like us and you're interested and you want to visit and you could see yourself coming with us. But at the end of the day, they always stay at Memphis with Penny Hardaway. 8 for 8, hadn't missed yet. I'm just not going to waste my time. And it might really also be a waste of time for John Calipari, Mike Krzyzewski, and Roy Williams right now. It might not be in 3 years because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 years. But right now, while there's nothing but positive surrounding the program, fans are fired up, attendance is up, the team's good enough, better than it was supposed to be, gotten better as the season progressed, with a chance next week to actually get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. With all this positive stuff right now, you're fighting a losing battle. It really is a waste of time. And if coaches didn't know that after Tyler Harris or Malcolm Dandridge or DJ Jeffries or James Wiseman, maybe they know it after last night. Because my understanding with this one is that this ain't one they've been targeting since the day they got hired. But at some point, they reached a point where this is a priority for us. Boom. Done. That's the way it's been. Every single time. And there's no reason to think that's going to change anytime soon. And so the question from the Memphis perspective becomes, can this get complicated? And that's totally a secondary question, because what Penny has done by taking 4 Memphis area players is create something that's been labeled as the 6th best recruiting class in the country. So if you got a problem with that, you really can't see the forest for the trees. I'm just always going to come down on the side of, if you've got a top 10 recruiting class, I don't really care where it comes from. That's a good recruiting class. But undeniably, for decades now, we've known that having a whole bunch of Memphis kids can, A, be awesome, because it can like maybe take you to a Final Four. But it can also be complicated, because everybody's got a mom, everybody's got a dad, everybody's got an uncle, everybody's got a brother. And these players, once they get on campus, they're not like players at other campuses. Like, if you are from wherever and you go off to play at Kansas, you don't, on a Wednesday afternoon where you don't have practice, end up back in your neighborhood. You can't. You're from Chicago. You're from L.A. You're from Memphis if you're Diedrich and KJ. You know, if you go off to Duke, you know, Duke doesn't really have any players from Durham, North Carolina. So you go to Duke, you're at Duke. You're not surrounded by all the stuff that you've grown up with. There's nowhere to go. You get frustrated. Okay, but where are you going? You're not going back home to your neighborhood to be surrounded by people who will tell you it's the coach's fault. It's not your fault. You're not getting a fair shake. You're not getting enough shots. That's not your life. You might feel all those things, but you're not surrounded by people who reinforce those things, those thoughts. But in Memphis, you know, if Tyler Harris wants to go home tonight, he can. Same thing with, you know, Malcolm Dandridge next year, James Wiseman next year, DJ Jeffries next year. And that can be tough to navigate. And you don't have to take my word for it. Talk to literally any Memphis basketball coach who's still alive today about the dynamics of the Memphis job. Talk to Josh Pastner about it. Talk to John Calipari about it. Bet you could even talk to Tubby Smith about it, even though he never enrolled a Memphis player for one reason or another. I mean, for instance, Tuesday night I was in studio in New York with Richard Jefferson, and I didn't actually realize this. I knew Richard Jefferson went to Arizona, obviously, and I knew he went to Arizona at the same time Josh Pastner went to Arizona. Richard Jefferson and Josh Pastner were actually roommates at Arizona.
Oh.
I didn't realize this until I was talking to Richard about it the other night.
Yeah.
Hilariously.
Oh, I bet that was interesting.
Well, hilariously, Richard said initially he was roommates with Luke Walton.
Wow.
And
another Memphis, former Memphis assistant.
Former Memphis assistant, Luke Walton.
Yeah.
And Richard said that at some point, after maybe his freshman year or sophomore year, he realized, if I'm going to work hard enough to actually get to the NBA, I can't keep being roommates with Luke Walton.
I get you.
Every night's getting a little.
I got you.
We ain't focused on the right things every single night.
Much different than Pastner.
So I'll go be roommates. He really was. I'll go be roommates with the straight-laced guy who only wants to work me out every day. Not the guy who wants to go to the bar and pick up the baddest bees in the place. I'm going to go be roommates with a guy who just wants to work, who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, wants to work me out every day. Yeah. And Richard Jefferson went on to make $120 million in the NBA, so it was a wise decision. But I'm talking to Richard the other night, and he's saying all these things to me. Richard Jefferson, from Arizona, played at Arizona, never played in the NBA in Memphis, lives in L.A. right now. He should have no concept about the dynamics of the Memphis job. And yet he's talking to me about, is it going to be a problem with Memphis having so many Memphis kids? Well, where do you think he gets that from?
Yeah, that's from his
experience. The former Memphis coach, Josh Pastner, who he was roommates with once upon a time.
Yeah.
You know, John Calipari, I don't know if he said it publicly, but certainly privately, one of the things he would continuously say is, I don't want Memphis kids on my bench.
Right.
I want, if I can get Sean Williams, I want Sean Williams.
They're stars.
And he wanted Leslie McDonald, and he wanted Thaddeus Young, and he wanted Elliot Williams.
Right.
You know, because those are guys you take them, you plug them right into your starting lineup, they're going to go on to do whatever they're going to do. But he was very hesitant, at least for the bulk of those years, about taking a secondary Memphis prospect, because that guy, if you're bringing in Chris Douglas Roberts, Derrick Rose, Darius Washington, Tyreek Evans, that guy's probably going to end up in your bench. Memphis kid on your bench, going to be a problem. That's what he thought, at least.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Well, when you got this many Memphis kids on your roster, you're going to have Memphis kids on your bench.
Right.
I don't know if you know much about basketball, but only five can play at a time.
Yep.
The other ones are on the bench. And so, if the question is, could this become complicated? The answer is, of course it could become complicated. Not to mention, we have a radio station where, parents are on here all the time. AAU coaches in studio all the time. It can become complicated. The counterpoint would be, again, big picture.
Yeah.
It's a top 10 recruiting class, going to be a preseason top 25 team. Shut up. And for whatever it's worth, these waters aren't unfamiliar to Penny. He's been navigating them for years, just at a different level. Because, yes, it can get complicated having a whole bunch of Memphis area players at the University of Memphis. That's true. You know what else is complicated? Having a whole bunch of Memphis area players on Team Penny.
Yeah.
You know, trying to figure out who you can get and who Team Thad's getting and all, trying to negotiate all that stuff. Also complicated. And by all accounts, he did it brilliantly, both with Team Penny and East High School. So he doesn't come into this with a total lack of understanding. The way, frankly, the previous staff had no concept of anything that I'm talking about right now. This staff has a total understanding of all of that. Mm-hmm. And so if they still feel comfortable with doing it, I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing. Plus, again, big picture, class is ranked 6th in the country right now, one spot ahead of Duke, 4 spots ahead of Kentucky. Can you imagine a year ago, March 7th, 2018, us even having this conversation?
No, it was a pipe dream.
It was an impossible conversation to even imagine. And yet, March 7th, 2019, you got a team getting ready to play in an AAC tournament in front of a packed house, presumably something close to it, every time they play. Then you got a top 10 recruiting class on the way and a preseason top 25 team next season. So you can nitpick it if you want. Ask questions if you want. It's fair. But a big picture, really couldn't be going much better than it's going. John Martin's up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Drug dealer Benzes with gold diggers.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the f*** you expect when it got a K
422, Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN. Not a great day for LSU coach Will Wade. Yahoo Sports has a transcript of a wiretap in which he is explaining to Christian Dawkins, who is now a convicted felon, that he had made a strong effing offer for a player, the player being Javonte Smart, who's now a freshman at LSU, by the way, but that the third-party handler had not accepted it yet. And from Will's perspective, the reason the third-party handler had not accepted it yet is because the offer was tilted more to take care of the mom and the kid as opposed to the third-party handler. Again, this is all on a wiretap. Plausible deniability is a great thing for college basketball coaches. I don't think it exists here. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's my little buddy, co-host Jason and John. Used to be with Cookie, upgraded to Sam. I know he's appreciative of that. Yeah, make John Martin a big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, little buddy. How you doing?
What up, G?
What's up with it? What's up with it? You all right?
Man, yeah, man. Can't complain. Life is good, bro. Busy times, but that's good in our business. So, yeah, all is good.
So, last night, the University of Memphis, coached by Penny Hardaway, got another commitment from a Memphis-area player. It's Damian Ba. You tell me about him. I know you had him in studio yesterday. What kind of player did Memphis get?
They got a dog, not like a canine, but like a dog on the court. Because I know you're gonna press me about like the technicality of that. I just want to get it out of the way.
I understand.
He's a dog on the court. All right. What was interesting when we had him in studios, he told us, you know, in previous games, he's guarded, you know, guys his size. He's guarded guys at his position. You know, LaMelo Ball, he matched up with. That's prolific. No, that's not prolific. But he has matched up with LaMelo Ball. He's guarded other guys who are, you know, top of the class. But he's also guarded Trenton Watford. He's also guarded Precious Achiuwa. Those guys play different positions than he does, and they're 3-4 inches taller than he is. And he contained them about as well as you can. R.J. Hampton, he guarded R.J. Hampton. And according to Norton Hurd IV, his coach, did about as good of a job on R.J. Hampton as you can do. So this is a guy who really, I think, values that, cherishes that side of the ball, like really being able to attack, you know, the other player, you know, the other team's best player defensively. He's a rangy guy, you know, 6'4", you know, long arms. You know, they needed a guard like this. They needed a guard who you can throw out there and just say, hey, go guard the other team's best player. And he can do it. You know, Lomax is kind of like that, right? Like he's that kind of, but he's 5'11", you know, 6 foot maybe on a good day. So now you've got a guy who's actually 6'4 and can guard multiple positions and handle the ball on the other side of the court too. So he's not a scorer, not a great scorer, but, you know, he has enough of that sort of just raw ability, especially defensively, where he's going to see time on the court next season. And he was just a guard they needed. He's a guard that's not 5'10", and they needed that, and they got it yesterday.
I will say that, you know, people, Memphis fans, have gotten mostly excited about the five-star guys, or in DJ Jeffrey's case, the four-star guys, or the five-star, four-star guys who are possible options. You know, Matthew Hurt, Trendon Wofford, so on and so forth. And so under normal circumstances, if Memphis then went out and took a commitment from a three-star prospect, you might go, well, this is an indication that they're not going to get the five-star prospects or that they're settling for something less. Except, I mean, I was thinking about this earlier today, Penny from the jump has said he does not want all five-star players. He wants guys like this who fill a role. And listen, when Memphis takes a commitment from somebody I think's nonsensical, I'll point that out. But if you're going to have a team that with Tyler Harris and DJ Jeffries and James Wiseman, there ain't enough shots for everybody on the court. And if you can find somebody who's a 6'4 athlete, can guard multiple positions, and really doesn't care about shooting the ball that much because he's prioritized being an incredible perimeter defender, like you don't have to talk him into it. That's already what he wants to do. I take that guy every time.
Nobody wants to be the glue guy. Like nobody wants to actually like refer to themselves as the glue guy. There's almost like a derogatory term. But in this case, like this is what Memphis needs. Like they need a guy who, you know, who at 6'4", you know, is not going to necessarily be a liability on the offensive end. Can guard, you know, like I said, multiple positions. They got that. Damian Ball's a glue guy. And I think there's room there. There's room there for him to develop offensively. But the good news is that they're not going to depend on that. Like, the scoring is going to come from James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries, and I presume they're going to be hitting the graduate transfer route as well. So they're not going to depend on him for that. So anything they get from him, but I think this is a seventh, eighth man that they got next season, and who I think can really develop into a guy who makes an impact at the University of Memphis over his time. There's no question. So, I mean, I remember coming on here, dude, and just trying to, like, you would ask me, like, you would literally ask me, why should I care about Connor Vanover committing? And I would have no answer for you. Like, I would have, like, why? I can't tell you. I have no answer for you. You know, now Memphis is just recruiting at such an exponentially better level that, like, there actually is something to get excited about with Damian Ball, like, immediately. This is a guy who can contribute next season as a freshman. And so, that's what Memphis is doing right now. That's what Penny's accomplishing.
Well, speaking of Connor Vanover, remember when people would try to tell you that he was something interesting? You know what he is now?
Yes, I do remember.
He's a 30% three-point shooter playing for literally the worst Power 5 team in America and one of the worst Power 5 teams of all time.
And also, he has braids.
Is that true?
Yes, Google it. It's disgusting.
What? Connor Vanover?
It might be like two little braids, or it's a man bun that looks, just Google it. It's unbelievable. I don't know what happened to him out there.
I'm Googling.
If he's been hanging out in Compton or something, I just don't know. But you'll find it on Twitter. The guy, he's getting bad advice.
I will tell you, just so you'll know going forward, Compton is nowhere near Berkeley.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So we can rule that out.
Yeah, you could probably rule out that he's been in Compton. Maybe, perhaps Oakland.
It was either Compton or Berkeley. It was either awesome or really rough.
Perhaps
he's hanging out in Oakland.
He's a little closer to Oakland than Berkeley. So maybe I am looking at it right now. I see Connor Vanover. It looks a little bit like Mike Conley's hair.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, you are already, you walk around looking like a giant already. You don't need to do something to bring more attention to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, they're just, somebody, who is his coach at Cal?
Wyking Jones?
Yeah, Wyking Jones needs to do something about that.
Yeah, Wyking Jones just trying to keep his job at this point.
That's a tough pull there at Cal.
I tell you, he's got
they were that bad this year.
They could not
be. I honestly have no idea who that is. I'll be honest, I have no idea who Wyking Jones is.
Well, I'll tell you this. As somebody who has to know these people, he was an assistant at Cal when Conzo left to go to Missouri. And, you know, they made a run, I think, at Eric Musselman and, like, missed there. And they tried some other things. But when they hired him, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, but, like, and the other people who, like, are paid to follow this type of stuff, mm-hmm. we're like, what on earth are they doing? he's the classic
rough,
like, assistant coach, fine, but you cannot put that guy in front of your in charge of your program, especially a Power 5 program. And
they did,
you know what happened? They went from 62nd and going to they went from 62nd in KenPom in 2017 to 244th last year, 260th this year. Whoa. Do you know how hard it is to even be 260th if you're a Power 5 league?
That's rough. I mean,
they got Connor Vanover with braids.
And they got Connor Vanover with braids shooting 31% from three-point range. So, whatever. Enough about that. Yeah. Back to Damian Ball. What I like is the mindset. Like, and I've never talked to the young man, but I know you have. And best I can tell, he brings up defense before he brings up offense. He's more focused on that than the other stuff.
Yep.
And I'm not comparing him to anybody, including this person. But I remember sitting courtside at FedEx Forum one night, and this story will surprise nobody, but it's still a neat little story. I can't remember who the player was, but let's just say it's Wesley Matthews or something like that. And the game's going, however it's going. And at some point, Tony Allen walks over to where I'm sitting. And I don't think he was coming to ask me as much as he was coming to ask me or somebody sitting right there who had access to stats.
Yeah.
But he was like, what's Wes Matthews right now? What's Wes Matthews right now? And it might not have been Wes Matthews. It might have been another player. And I was like, I didn't know. I'm looking. I'm like, two of seven. He's like, okay. And he goes back out. And so after the game, they end up winning. Tony actually has one of these games where he had like 18 points, 11 rebounds. Like he actually performed on that end of the court. And after the game, right. I remember asking him or somebody else asked him, like, yo, I think it might have been me. Like, why were you so consumed with Wes Matthews? And he was like apparently Wes Matthews had got him last time. And so he came into that game. He had no idea he had a double-double. That Tony had no idea that Tony had a double-double.
Oh.
But he wanted to know exactly what Wes Matthews was doing because that's what he was focused on that night. I don't want that guy to get me again. I don't care if I score 17 points. I don't care if I get 11 rebounds. I just want to make sure at the end of the night that dude didn't get the best of me again. And when you have that mindset, you have an advantage on that. That as long as you've got the other stuff, you know, the basketball IQ to know how to play the position, but also the athleticism and the length. And I mean, I couldn't have that mindset and then go out and guard Wesley Matthews, right? But if you've got the stuff to do it and you have that mindset to go with it, you are so far ahead of the competition because most players don't have that mindset. It's not that they don't care, but it's not their priority. If you make that your priority, it's much easier to be a difference maker on the defensive end of the court if you've got the physical tools to do it than it is to be a difference maker on the offensive end of the court. That's my point.
Yeah, and I agree with your point. I think this is the kind of kid that's going to take pride in that. And I think that's why, you know, when you start thinking about next year, you know, yeah, you want to compile all the talent that you can, which Penny obviously is doing, but you also have to make sure that it's a fit. You also have to make sure that all of these pieces sort of gel together. I mean, how many times have we seen talented classes come in college basketball that are ranked highly, right? And for one reason or another, you know, whether it's personalities clashing or too many guys doing the same thing, you know, especially new coaches, they have a hard time with that. They have a hard time, you know, gelling and putting that all together. And so I think it is imperative for Penny, and I think he understands that, you know, everybody can't be the guy. Everybody can't have the ball in their hands the whole time in this freshman class. And I think so from that perspective, you know, Damian is a very important and necessary component of it. And I think he's got a pretty good balance right now. Honestly, if you go down to class, you know, Malcolm and James, you know, DJ and now Damian, and they're after Lester Quinones and Trenton Watford and Precious Achiuwa, and we'll see exactly how they fill it in. But I actually think on balance, he's done a pretty good job of putting pieces together that will mesh well and for the most part will have very defined and understood roles early on, because that's going to be important. And I know we still have games to play for this season and we're all excited about the tournament, but you know, that's going to be important next season. Is does everybody come in sort of understanding exactly what they are going to be asked to do? You know, because a lot of times that's where feelings get hurt and guys think about transferring and, you know, this, that. I mean, just think about Josh's first, you know, his first real class. I mean, that team really underachieved for the majority of the season. And they made a magical run there in El Paso and a hell of a comeback against UTEP to go to the tournament, but they were on the brink of missing the tournament, you know, and a lot of that was because, you know, you had Joe and Will, and Joe and Will kind of butted heads because of, you know, what the expectations were for each of them. So that's important, and I think bringing a guy in like Damian is a very necessary part of putting this class together, for sure.
Well, to your point, and I don't say this to make Memphis fans come back down to earth, because you got beat down so badly over the past 4 years by your program, you should be enjoying every bit of this. But that said, just look at last year's classes. Okay, Duke had the number one class in the country. They're the favorite to win the national championship. Seems like the secret there is go ahead and enroll the two best players in the country. Kentucky, they're top 10 right now. They were the number two recruiting class. Oregon had the third-ranked recruiting class in the country. They're about to miss the NCAA tournament. Now, Bobo got hurt, but all the other dudes played. They had five kids in their class. The other four played. Bobo got hurt. And perhaps with Bobo, they'd be in the NCAA tournament, but they're about to miss it unless they get the automatic bid. LSU had the fourth-ranked recruiting class. They're about to go to jail.
we know how they got it.
Kansas had the fifth-ranked recruiting class. They're top 20, so, like, no problems, but they did not win the Big 12 like they usually do. Sixth-ranked recruiting class in the country last year? UCLA fired their coach on New Year's Eve. Eighth-ranked recruiting class last year? Texas. Very much at risk of missing the NCAA tournament. And the 10th-ranked recruiting class last year, that belonged to Archie Miller and the Indiana Hoosiers, and they are 15 and 14 right now. So, listen, it is always better to get a top 10 recruiting class than not, But top 10 recruiting classes do not guarantee what so many fans seem to think it guarantees. I just gave you about five examples.
No, I'd shut down the program.
Well, I don't think we'd go that far, but this is true. One, two, three, four. Four of the schools that had top 10 recruiting classes last season, so nearly half, are probably about to miss the NCAA tournament.
No, your point is well taken. I would say this. Yes, it guarantees nothing. However, I would be surprised. Cincinnati will be picked, I would guess, to win the conference next year, but it's going to be close. It's going to be either Cincinnati or Memphis. I mean, Memphis will be picked one or two in the conference. And honestly, I mean, you know, given what UCF is going to lose, given that Temple's going to have a coaching change, we'll see what happens with UConn. They're losing a lot. They have a good class coming in, but they're losing certainly a lot too. I mean, the American should be a lot easier to manage than, for example, the Big Ten. I mean, as obviously, but, you know, that's something to take into consideration. And the Big 12 and et cetera.
Last thing before I let you go, what's next? Obviously, there's scholarship limitations, but I've always told people if you spend a second thinking about that, you're wasting a second of your life because it will all get itself worked out. Like, nothing makes me roll my eyes more when I get an email from somebody like, but we got five scholarships, and now if we get Trendon Wofford and this other dude, then we're going to be at six. What are we going to do? You're going to tell David Winget to transfer. Or something like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, Victor Eno.
It'll all get worked out. That is something Penny and Mike and Tony and Sam need to think about. If you think about it for even a minute, you are wasting your time because it'll all get worked out. So what is next? What do you think comes next in this recruiting class?
I will say the only coach I've ever heard use that we don't have enough scholarships as an excuse was Josh Pastner when Jarnell enrolled in the middle of the year.
Which was like, just crazy. You really kicked somebody off the team. Now, I think what really happened there is that Josh couldn't get that done.
He used it as an excuse
for not being able to get it done, but he just couldn't get it done.
He's the only guy I've ever heard say that. Like, because everybody else, like you said, just like finds a way to find, you know, they open a scholarship.
Because if really the only thing standing between you and Jarnell Stokes is an available scholarship, you just take somebody off scholarship. This is big boy stuff.
It is big boy stuff.
You just take somebody off scholarship. Yeah. Simple as that.
So what is next? They have several guys. I think for the most part, you know the name. You know, Trinidad Watford, Precious Achiuwa, Lester Quinones. You know, they're very deeply involved with each of those guys. Funny enough, like I was playing around with the 24/7 class calculator. It depends on the combination, but you know, they definitely, if they could, would love to add. You know, I don't think they're going to get all three of them. They would love to add two of the three. And if the two of the three is, if the combination is with Precious Achiuwa and Lester Quinones, who I believe played together in AAU or somewhere before that, if it's those two, it would give Memphis the number one ranked recruiting class in the country. So they're definitely very heavily invested in those three guys right now, you know, in terms of recruiting efforts. You know, I know Mike saw Matthew Hurt yesterday, and obviously, you know, they're still in the mix there, but you know, that's just a long shot. It's just going to be hard to get that one done, given who's after him and how honestly desperate Kentucky is to get guys right now. So I would say it's those three. You know, they'll all be tough in their own right to get. You know, I mean, Duke's coming in on Trendon, and you know, if they decide to offer, that could change the entire recruitment. But you know, I think those are the three focuses right now. And like I've said, they know. You know, they know what their guard outlook is. Yeah, they're happy to add a guy like Damian Ball, but they're also going to be heavily monitoring the graduate transfer because you just need experience. You don't want to go into next season with your guards being Tyler Harris, Alex Lomax, maybe Antoine Jones and Damian Ball. Like, you just can't do that and expect to, you know, win at a super high level. I mean, you just need some experience back there. So they'll do those things, and, you know, I suspect they'll end up with a top four recruiting class. That'll be awesome for the program.
That is John Martin. You can hear him tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right here on the Jason and John Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, at JohnMartin929. Thank you, little buddy. Tell Cookie I said what's up. Give Sam a little kiss on the cheek for me.
I got it. Yep, thank
you. All right, I'll see you. Bye-bye. That's Jason and John's John Martin here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. When we come back, we'll wait. Been caught on a wiretap. We've known that for a while, but new details from that wiretap emerged today from Yahoo Sports, also from Mark Schlabaugh, ESPN. It's not good stuff. Looks real bad. I'll give you the details right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick.
Jeff Parkinson's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back into the Memphis basketball conversation with him. But right now, real quick, got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
FBI wiretaps intercepted telephone calls between LSU coach Will Wade and aspiring business manager Christian Dawkins, in which Wade expressed frustration about his inability to close what he described as a strong-ass offer for a recruit. Sources told Yahoo Sports earlier today. Mark Schlabaugh at ESPN has also confirmed this report. It was originally done by Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, and it's not a good thing for Will Wade or the LSU program. So some background here. Will, of course, is the head coach at LSU. They got to beat Vandy tomorrow at home. That's no problem to win at least to share the SEC title. And given that Tennessee is playing at Auburn, which is a losable game, LSU could, you know, by Saturday night, be outright SEC champions and on a path to maybe be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. We were debating it last night and looking at the resumes. If LSU is an outright league champ and SEC tournament champs, LSU is going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So we've known for a while that wiretaps connected to this federal probe had picked up a phone call between Will Wade and Christian Dawkins, who was like a street agent, you know, a runner, for lack of a better word. Young guy, real ambitious, cutting corners, you know, hustling players. He is among the reasons this entire scandal got where it got, perhaps the biggest reason. So we've known for a while there was a phone call intercepted between Will and Christian Dawkins, and it didn't sound great even then. And that's because Will was on it discussing a specific player with Christian Dawkins, and Dawkins is saying, if you're interested in this guy, we can get this done, but I'm going to need A, B, and C. And Will at one point says, hold on, I got to shut my door, which you can just envision it. He's in his office.
Oh, boy.
And so, like any of us, you know, you're having a phone call that you no longer want somebody to maybe overhear. You go, hold on, let me shut the door. Right. Or hold on, let me step outside. Or hold on, let me call you back. Attach common sense to this. That's what Will was doing.
Needed privacy.
Hold on, let me shut my door. And then he comes back and he says, listen, I can get you what you need, but, you know, it's got to work. Like, I can get you this, but then we got to get this done.
Yeah.
And so that was bad. It looked like what it looked like. But the good news for LSU in that one was that the kid never committed.
Didn't enroll.
He didn't commit, hadn't enrolled. I think he's going to Florida State next year. So if you're Will Wade, you could always say, listen, I'm just talking. But, like, you know, I don't know if you realize it, but we didn't get the kid.
Right.
And that's evidence I didn't do anything. So, S my D.
Apparently, and that's how he talks.
And that's sort of where it had been left.
Sure.
Except for he was going to be subpoenaed to appear at Christian Dawkins' next trial next month, at which point Christian Dawkins' attorney said they were going to pull back the curtains on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to be asked some uncomfortable and complicated questions. But we were going to be dealing with that in late April, not on March 7th.
Right.
Well, then Yahoo Sports earlier today released a transcript of a wiretap between Christian Dawkins and Will Wade. And they're just seemingly talking about getting deals done. And Will, according to the transcript, seems to be expressing frustration with not being able to close a deal with Javonte Smart, a top 50 prospect class of 2018, who is now a freshman at LSU. If you watched the LSU-Tennessee game 2 weekends ago, the kid that killed Tennessee and won that game, Javonte Smart. So here's the transcript according to Yahoo Sports, and it has been independently confirmed by ESPN. Quote, this is Will Wade talking.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking last night on this Smart thing, meaning this Smart deal. I'll be honest with you. I'm effing tired of dealing with this thing. Like, I'm just effing sick of dealing with this S. Like, this should not be that effing complicated. Will Wade continues. Dude, I went to the handler with a effing strong-ass offer about a month ago. Effing strong. The problem was, I know why he didn't take it now. Talking about the handler.
Yep.
It was effing tilted toward the family a little bit. It was tilted toward taking care of the mom, taking care of the kid. Like, it was tilted towards that. So now I know for a fact he didn't explain everything to the mom. I know that now. He didn't get, I know what the problem was. He didn't get, the handler,
mm-hmm.
enough piece of the pie in the deal. But it was a effing hell of a effing offer. Hell of an offer, especially for a kid who's going to be a 2 or 3 year kid. So that's that conversation.
Wow.
ESPN reports that in a separate phone call with Christian Dawkins, Will Wade jokes on a wiretap that the player they're discussing will be compensated more than, quote, the rookie minimum. And Will Wade, according to the transcript, also told Christian Dawkins that he had made deals for, quote, as good of players as this other kid, that were a lot simpler deals than this one.
Mm.
So that's a lot to get around.
Rough. Rough.
And, there is circumstantial evidence surrounding a lot of coaches right now. Bill Self being probably the most obvious one. Because Bill Self is caught on text message talking to TJ Gasnola. Back and forth. TJ was the bag man, the Adidas bag man.
Right.
And TJ's saying, Kansas is number one, everybody else is second, screw everybody else. As far as I'm concerned, I'm working for Kansas now.
Right.
And Bill Self's like, that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Self's like, I need some dudes. And TJ Gasnola's like, I will never let you down. The only one I ever let you down on is DeAndre Ayton, LOL. But I'll get, you know, as far as right. I'm concerned, Kansas is number one, everybody else can take a back seat. Now, if you understand how this stuff works, that is Bill Self telling TJ Gasnola, you need to go get me players. I mean, that's what that
yeah.
is. There's no getting around it. But if you're Bill Self, you can also say, I didn't tell TJ Gasnola to go buy me players.
Right.
I didn't tell TJ Gasnola to go give money to somebody. You can think that's what I was doing, but it ain't in the transcript. If you want to try to put words in my mouth, that's fine. But it ain't in the transcript. So you can interpret that the way you're interpreting that. I'm just telling you that's not how I meant it. And that ain't what I said. And you'll roll your eyes.
Sure.
Unless you're a Kansas fan. But it might keep you. You'll survive that.
Yeah, you'll get out of there.
I think Bill survives that.
Yep. This is
a different deal.
No, this is a different deal.
You are, let's just go down it.
Yep.
Bragging about getting deals done that were way simpler than this.
Yep.
Laughing about getting a deal done that'll be better than the NBA rookie minimum.
Mm.
You are expressing frustration because the handler won't accept your offer because maybe you cut the mom and the kid in a little too much and didn't just give the big piece of the pie to the handler.
Mm.
And these conversations are happening in the same month, literally the same month that Javonte Smart committed to LSU.
Yeah, he's enrolled.
So this broke earlier today, and then I had a flight home from LaGuardia, and for some reason we didn't have Wi-Fi on the flight, which is a nightmare for me because I don't have enough time to get stuff done, period. And so when I lose 2 hours, 20 minutes of work, like I'm really losing something. But I did have a lot of time to just sit there and like delete pictures in my phone. You know, I just cleaned it, like all sorts of stuff.
Go through those exercises. I got you.
And also think about, okay, if you're Will Wade, because I find this a fun mental exercise when I see people, whether it's Will Wade here, and I'm not comparing the two things, but like you're R. Kelly talking to Gail King. Like, how do you answer these questions? Like, could you answer these questions? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, there's just no way out of this.
No.
There is no way out of this.
I thought about it a little bit today, this afternoon.
You can't, there's no explanation for this stuff other than it is what it is. Yeah. And so maybe LSU will stand beside him because they might just say, yeah, our coach was talking wild on the phone, but that's all he was doing. Go find a paper trail.
I think that's dumb if you're them.
Go prove. I don't think they're going to do that. But like if they wanted to, you just say, you go prove that we actually exchange money for anything, and then we'll accept our responsibility. But right now, all you got is two people talking. And two people talking ain't enough. By the way, it is enough. This ain't a court of law.
Right.
It's the NCAA. They can do whatever they want to do. But short of that, there's no way to get around it. It is what it is. And I say this as somebody who likes Will Wade.
Yeah.
I've known Will since he was a grad assistant at Clemson.
He's come a long way, Gary.
And so, like, I don't, and let me say this also, because people get into this, like, all these tweets. This doesn't mean Will Wade's a bad guy.
Right.
It doesn't mean next time I see Will, I won't say, hey, man, how you doing? It just means that he's a coach who apparently was violating all sorts of NCAA rules willingly and consistently. That's what it means. And I know if you were talking to Will right now, here's what he'd say, if he would level with you. He'd be like, dude, I work in the SEC. What do you want me to do? I got to compete with Kentucky and all of these other schools. I'm getting paid a lot of money to go put a product on the floor. How do you think some of these other schools are putting products on the floor? You've been paying attention to this federal trial? You see how Kansas puts product on the floor? You see how Louisville puts product on the floor? Man, I ain't doing nothing anybody else wasn't doing. Maybe I was a little more hands-on than somebody else. Maybe I was a little more involved than Rick Pitino was involved. But there ain't nothing unique about what I was doing. That's what he'd say. That's how he'd rationalize it. And maybe you'd put your arm around him and say, yeah, I hear you.
Sorry.
But you're driving down the interstate going 80. You get pulled over. Everybody else going 82. They don't get pulled over. That ain't going to keep you from getting a ticket. I said that to an officer one time. I was like, dude, like, yeah, I was speeding. But so was everybody else. He's like, it's not my job to catch everybody. It's just my job to catch who I catch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, what am I going to say? You know, the rules are the rules. If everybody else breaks them, it doesn't mean you can too. It can be an explanation for why you do it, but it ain't an excuse that'll save you from the NCAA or save you from what's coming. And so I don't know how LSU is going to handle this. The Yahoo story came early today. This ESPN story came within the past 30 minutes. But the ESPN story really does, I think, make it even worse. Because on one hand, he's talking about frustration of not being able to get a deal done. So I guess you could reasonably argue, yeah, I was frustrated because I was thinking about maybe doing this thing, but I didn't do it. Like if your girlfriend found some text messages in your phone and you'd be like, okay, maybe I was flirting a little too much, but I didn't actually do anything. Maybe you could make that argument for Will Wade. That wiretap doesn't say that I got a deal done for Javonte Smart. It clearly shows that I was considering doing a deal for Javonte Smart, but we never really got the deal done. Nobody would believe you, but you could at least make that argument. The other stuff from the ESPN story, that's him talking about a deal I got done, past tense. It was much simpler than this one. I've got deals. By the way, it was plural. I've had deals done much simpler than this for comparable players. That's the one I don't think you can get around. You're bragging about violations you've already committed. Perhaps not bragging, maybe just talking. But either way, tough to get around. I guess if you're asking for a prediction, No way
he gets through this.
I don't think he survived this.
Nope.
Even, and I mean this, I just mean it the way I mean it. Even at LSU, I don't think you're going, it's going to be very hard to survive this. And I don't wish that.
No. Nope.
But, you know, it.
And the reporters talked to him today, and he hadn't read it, but the story was like five hours
reporters,
old.
The reporters
just ambushed him.
Well, first off, A, yes, he had read it. That's stupid. And B, I mean, I know he said he hadn't,
yeah,
but like—
I know he read it.
Of course he read it. That's just
looked
a lot.
Looked like a deer in the headlights.
But the reporters were like, I was embarrassed for them.
Ambushed his ass.
Well, they did ambush him, and then what? Like, they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a reporter and you ask about a Yahoo story, and Will Wade says, I haven't read it yet, you say, well, I read it. Here's what's in it.
Right.
How do you respond to this?
Transcribe it on the fly there.
I can't comment on that because I haven't read it. Well, I read it. I can tell you what's in it.
Yep.
In it, you're on a wiretap with Christian Dawkins expressing frustration made an offer to a handler, and the handler hasn't accepted your offer yet, and you're frustrated because you think the reason the handler hasn't accepted your offer is because you cut the mom and the kid in too much and didn't give the big piece of the pie to the handler.
They needed you down there in Louisiana today.
That's what the story is. Yeah. How do you respond to that?
How do you respond to that?
What did you mean about pie? What did you mean about strong-ass offer? There's a whole bunch of ways to handle that situation. The reporters down in Baton Rouge didn't do it well.
They blew it.
But either way, like, Will Wade's going to he's going to coach a basketball game this weekend, and he's going to get hit with these same questions by more capable reporters next time.
Yep.
And I don't think you're going to be able to run from this.
Story number two.
Meantime, Dan Wetzel was also reporting that two other schools have been roped into the federal probe. It's Nebraska. I mean, no. It's Creighton and TCU. And Dan subsequently reported that the assistant coaches involved are Preston Murphy and Corey Barker. And so I was worried when I heard TCU. I was like, oh, I hope it's not Ryan Miller.
Right.
It's not Ryan Miller. It's Preston Murphy at Creighton and Corey Barker at TCU. They are not going to be arrested because I think the U.S. Attorney's Office just doesn't want to go down this road. Like, they're just done with this. But it seems clear they want to expose who they can expose, even if they don't want to criminally punish any more basketball coaches. But I would imagine Preston Murphy, Corey Barker are going to have a hard time keeping their jobs.
Story number three.
The investigation into the accident that led to Jim Boeheim's vehicle striking and killing a man on the interstate last month has been closed. But officials in New York did say that Boeheim was speeding at the time of the accident. So you might go, okay, well, then why is he not in trouble? Because he was going 66 and a 55 is what the evidence shows. Well, what the investigation concluded is that even if he were going 55 in a 55 or 40 in a 55, he would not have been able to avoid this accident.
Mm-hmm.
The man who was struck and killed, Jorge Jimenez, had a vehicle no longer working, blocking two lanes of the interstate, no lights on it, dark, in a on a night where visibility wasn't great, and he was wearing dark clothes out in the middle of the interstate. His friends had apparently told him, get out of the road, you're going to get hit. He, for whatever reason, kept staying on the interstate. And the way that goes is that Jim tried to avoid the abandoned car, and while trying to avoid the abandoned car, hit Jorge Jimenez. And yes, he was speeding. The miles per hour at impact was 54. It was 66 before he started hitting the brakes. But what investigators concluded, right or wrong, I'm not an investigator, but is that even if he was going the speed limit, he would have still hit Jorge Jimenez. There was no way to avoid the collision. So that is over. It'll be a nightmare Jim Boeheim lives with forever, as well as Mr. Jimenez's family, but there will be no charges involved.
Story number four.
Big game in the American Athletic Conference tonight for Memphis's AAC tournament purposes. It's not the Cincinnati-UCF game as much as it's Temple at UConn, 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. And if you want Memphis to be able to get a bye and not have to play till the quarterfinals, you want to root for UConn to win this game, because I'll keep it as simple as I can. Right now, Memphis is 10-7. If it wins this weekend, it'll finish 11-7 in the league. Temple has got at UConn tonight, so they lose that, they drop to 11-6. Then they've got UCF at home on Saturday, and if they were to lose that, they would be 11-7. So Memphis and Temple would be tied from a record perspective. Then they go to a tiebreaker, and it's somewhat complicated, so I won't bore you with it, but the tiebreakers in place right now would favor Memphis. It would basically come down to Memphis beat UCF, and Temple would have gone 0-2 against UCF. So Memphis would be the 4 seed. Temple would be the 5. It wouldn't change much about the quarterfinals. Memphis-Temple still would play each other, but Memphis would be rested, and Temple would be coming off presumably a victory over Tulane. So If you want Memphis to not have to play as many games as it otherwise might, root for the UConn Huskies tonight on CBS Sports Network. Jeff Calkins up next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.